Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Stephen St. John and Nate Bucati with Jake Gutierrez on this Wednesday, January 12, 2022. And right now we're very happy to be joined by someone who has been elected to the College Football Hall of Fame's 2022 class. Coach Gary Pinkel joins us now. Coach, good morning. Congratulations. How are you?
Good morning. Thank you very much. I really appreciate that. It's I don't know if that was ever going to happen. It's a reflection, you know, on our program, on our players, on our coaches, our university, and certainly I'm very honored.
Tell us a story about how you found out. There was a football delivered to your house, but you thought it was a football that somebody wanted you to autograph. Tell us how you found out about this great honor.
Yeah, this is the last Wednesday. What happened was we had home in the evening. We were in Columbia, my wife Missy and I, and there was a box up near the front door, and we got carried away, got in the garage doing something else. We forgot it was there. I went out and worked out on Thursday morning, and when I got back working out, I saw it there, so I picked it up and took it in. So I took it in. My wife Missy went to the shower. I opened it up, and I knew it was a football, but the envelope was covering it. It was like a legal envelope. And then on top of it was a card. And the card was pretty cool because the card, I looked at it and I scanned it. And then I almost, I kind of redid it again with my mind. It said something like this. It says, of the 5.54 million who have played and coached college football since 1869, I think it was, it said only 1,098 players and 223 coaches have been inducted into the College Football Hall of Fame. And it said, welcome to the club. And I started crying. I mean, I didn't think of if someone played a prank on me like that, I'd blow up their car. They didn't think of a prank. But I'm just telling you, guys, I looked at it and I didn't, then I just, you know, I it was kind of overwhelming to me, and I just started crying. So I ran into to my wife. She's in the shower. I walk right in, and she thinks something's wrong. Drastically happens. I'm crying, and I said, "Read this." And I had to read that card again, and she started screaming. And it was incredible. It was, you know, this. You know, I've heard four other stories from four people that this year I saw it on the news and something else. That are same, talking about this same thing. So this isn't their first rodeo. Both athletic directors, one at Toledo and here at the University of Missouri, were notified when the box was sitting in front of my house so that they were going to then ask them to wait 12 to 24 hours before you end up calling them. So anyway, it was a profound moment. I didn't know if it would ever happen. I certainly wasn't waiting on it, you know. We had a good run, and, you know, we did a lot of right things for kids, and So I just certainly very honored, you know, to be a part of that elite group, to be in that Hall of Fame.
So when it first started to set in after that initial shock, and like you said, you didn't know if it was going to happen, you didn't know if somebody was playing a prank, but then it all starts to set in that, yes, you have been elected to the Hall of Fame. So then what's your thought process like? What's going through your mind realizing that, yes, this has actually happened?
Honestly, it was just real emotional for me, you know. I mean, I was off and on every 15 minutes. I'd, you know, be crying a little bit, and, you know, I'm just by myself, and, you know, Missy's got out of the shower and everything between me and her, and it was just overwhelming to me, you know. And not that I didn't think I was worthy of going in. I did. I didn't know if, if my story or what we did at Missouri, anybody would recognize it to the level that we really got to. And so, you know, there's a lot of people who have a lot to do with me getting this award, and that's the good news. Bad news is my name gets recognized, but the good news is I, you know, you got a lot of great people. It's amazing when you get a bunch of people that get committed and work hard and care for each other and reach some very high goals.
Coach Gary Pinkel is our guest. All right, let's go back to November 30th, 2000, when you were introduced as the Mizzou head football coach. And I had just been working at this radio station for about a year, year and a half or so. And so they sent me down with all the equipment to the press conference where you are being introduced as the head football coach. And I'm nervous. First of all, it was my birthday that day, and I was nervous. I'm going to screw this up. I'm going to screw up setting up the equipment. We carried it live. And then afterwards, you come over, and I was sitting at a table with Corby Jones, and then we put you on the air, and that was your first interview as a Mizzou head football coach. So I have a great memory of that, and that was one of the first big press conferences I had a chance to cover. But for you, what was that like when you took over at Mizzou? Because you came to Columbia with a reputation already being a terrific football coach. You had had great success at Toledo. You were coming off a 10-1 season. You had won at Penn State. I remember Mike Alden introduced you as a recruiting machine. But take me back to that day, that moment when you took over at Mizzou, and what your thought process was. Because I know a lot of people told you not to take the job at Mizzou because it was too daunting of a task, but that didn't scare you off. Maybe take me back to what that felt like and what was going through your mind when you took over the job at Mizzou.
Well, you know, I gave it a lot of thought, obviously. I had other people called me. I remember Nick Saban called me up and said, "What are you doing this for?" And I said, you know, I think it's the only, you know, power, you know, should use the term power five school in the state of Missouri. It's got a great population, two major cities. I said, why can't you win there? And he says, I don't know, but nobody's winning there. And so I vividly remember that. Some other people, and they were just kind of looking out for me, you know. But I just thought it was the right fit for me. And Mike, I really believe if Mike Alden wasn't here, I probably would not have come. Because I really, you know, I asked Mike, I said, you know, when I did commit to, after the interview, and I committed to doing it, I asked Mike, I said, Mike, there's going to be a time when I'm going to need you, and you got to stand by me, because this is a daunting task. And that happened. You know, we had losing. We won one out of four seasons, and then that point came. And that point came where I looked at, you know, we lost a close game. We were 5-6 or something like that. My fourth year, thought we were on the move. So I went into Mike and I talked to him, and I just told him, I said, remember that talk we had 4 years ago? Well, I need you now. And, you know, he said he's on board and everything, and the rest is history. But when I at that interview, I remember one of the interviews they asked me, pretty much a reporter asked me about failing, pretty much. Why do you think? I just never talked like that. You know, how do you think that you can do anything nobody's been able to do before? This place has not won hardly any games at all in the last, you know, 15, 17 years. And that's right. And I repeated that to the writer. I said, it's the first time I've ever asked about failing. I didn't come here because I think I was going to fail. I thought our program could win. And that's what I did. I built everything with Don James' program, same thing Nick Saban has right now. And we both played for Coach James at Kent State. And that program that worked at Kent State, that worked at Washington, that worked at Toledo, now we're going to go to Missouri. I had no doubts in my mind it would work. I just didn't know how long it would take. And there you need support, and Mike Alden was very supportive of me, and that's kind of the start of how it was. But I vividly remember that day.
And for anyone that followed the program from when you took it over, many times you would reference Don James and that system that you believed in, and you know we do what we do, and you talk about Mizzou made and all these things that you totally believed were going to turn around the program. And so at those times where, like you said, in season four, where things started a little bit shaky, and you were always loyal to the staff that you brought over from Toledo, and that was something that always stood out to me, and you were not deterred, and you never showed any confidence that was shaken. But like you said, there were some tough times there. Tell me just a little bit about that system and Don James and why you had so much belief in it. And I know I saw, you know, in the press conference you had yesterday that you said, boy, you'd give anything to have him walk through that door and to be able to share this honor with you. And I know what you think of him having played for him and coached under him. What a legacy he leaves, not only with you, but with Nick Saban. That system, that belief, that's what saw you through those tough times, right?
Yeah, I really did. I really believed what we were doing. I mean, I had no doubt. I go back to when I was, you know, and I accepted the job, and I told that, you know, Mike Alden, I said, Mike, I'm going to need you. And, because I thought without question we'd get it done. I knew it was going to be remarkably difficult, but it was even more difficult than I thought. You know, changing attitudes, getting kids, developing trust, okay, so you get ownership, you know, you earn trust. And, you know, I used to tell my coaches, I said, don't expect our players to passionately care about this program if we don't passionately care about them. And once they know we passionately care about them, their flaws and everything else, then guess what? They'll start trusting us, and they start trusting us, and we're going to start taking off. At the end of the day, that's what happened. But it wasn't easy. It wasn't easy. A lot of players that left the program, a lot of players quit. But at the end of the day, we were consistent in how we treat people. We were demanding for excellence. And, you know, every day my job is to critique and compliment all the different systems within my program, making sure all those things are operating on that Monday that I'm in work at that day. Then I go home and we do it again the next day, forever. So we just didn't go out there and get lucky and get some good players and say, let's go. We were fortunate to make some big, big recruits, huge recruits that had huge impacts. It's very hard for me to say names now because you mentioned one. I should mention 30. So, but that's I really believed in. I without a doubt, I really, really believed in it. And then we finally got going. And everybody talks about Brad Smith, and you know, Brad Smith was a difference maker and a recruit that, you know, we were recruiting to Toledo out of Youngstown, and you know, played 12 years in the NFL. And we needed a playmaker, a difference maker. And, you know, he's the start of it. And then it kind of really just went crazy with many, 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 many players that were all conference, many, many players, great teammates, many, many players that played in the NFL.
So, Coach, you talked a lot here about the process of getting it going. That was the phrase you just used, and how you had to have an AD that would stick behind you during those rough patches. I coming from this, you know, Stephen being the Missouri guy and me being a Kansas guy, I was the sideline reporter when you had those big matchups against Kansas at Arrowhead Stadium that everybody's going to remember. And at the time, Kansas looked like they had gotten it going too. They got to the point where they were going toe-to-toe with you guys and giving you good games there at Arrowhead Stadium. But then you kept it going. And Kansas fell off a cliff and hasn't been back since. And I've always heard coaches say the difference between getting it going and keeping it going. How hard was that, and how did you do that? How did you keep it going? Because some coaches say that's maybe harder than even getting it going in the first place.
Well, one thing we did, and you're right, that was a really good day. We can't, 2007, that we were two of the best teams in the nation, without question. I can't talk for anybody else. I just know the system that we have, the system that's in, is ongoing. It doesn't change. We certainly evaluate everything we do all the time. But the foundation of what we're about and that doesn't change. And I think what happens is some people will get a year or two really, really good. And for some reason, the program just doesn't go. And I have I'm not going to analyze Kansas in any way, but for our sake, it was just, you know, another year, it's over. We've gotten better. How are we going to continue to get better? It didn't change. You know, our goals were the same. We probably raised some of them at a higher level. You know, the attention to detail that we do, how we recruit, how we treat players at all. We just keep going. We don't in any way, we expect that, you know, the more you win, the greater, you know, the consistency is real important. But all I can tell you is we just continue to operate our program. 2007, good year, end up fourth in the nation. And let's get back to work. And when we were good at getting back to work, and I also, I kept my staff a lot. Not too many coaches left me. And that was really important for consistency for players and relationships and things like that. But I can't really speak for anybody else, but from our standpoint, it was business as usual. and the hard work that you do, that, you know, you don't let off. You don't all of a sudden, well, just I'm not as demanding as I used to be. Well, I was demanding the same I was the first day to the last day I left, demanding on excellence for things that we need to do in our program, whether it's academics resources, whether it's helping kids mature. I mean, I can go on and on with all the things that we did. And it was just, you know, move it over, move it up, and let's get going. And I think that's, you know, again, my background with Coach James and what I learned from him was something that, you know, I carried over. In fact, what I used to do when we first got here, you know, here comes, there were some schools when I got here, well, two in St. Louis would let me come to school from Missouri because so many bad things happened to the players. So I'm first year coach here recruiting. They won't let me in. And Kansas City wasn't quite that bad, but it was really tough. And you know, I get people, well, we've heard this. This is the fourth coach in the last 10 years, and we've heard all these things again. I said, oh, and so this is what I started telling them, the truth. Okay, I said, you want to know the truth? Okay. And I went back to Kent State University. I played there, and they hadn't won a championship in the history of the school just after the May 4th shootings. I go in there, and I'm telling the family this, okay, in the house. And I said, you know, we had, you know, got, you know, Jack Lambert and Nick Saban. We mentioned those guys, but my teammates there, we won the only championship in the history of the school. Went to the Tangerine Bowl, which is the Florida Citrus Bowl now. I'm telling the family this now. I said, I picked that program up. Don James picked that program up, took it to Seattle, Washington, and guess what? They had just won a national championship last year. So I was there 11 bowls, 12 years. So I'm picking this program up. And I'm from Kent State, that worked at Kent State, that worked at Washington at the highest levels. I took it from Washington to Toledo because it worked. And guess what? It worked there. So it worked at Kent State, it worked at Washington, worked at Toledo. And now I am in Missouri, and I look them in the eye, and it's going to work. I guarantee it's going to work. And when I, you know, the assistant coach is in with me, when I'm talking to them, you know, they're in there talking with me about that. And that was our deal. It worked, and it was the truth. At the end of the day, it was the truth. And I think when you can sell that and you have passion about it, I think, you know, we started getting great recruits out of the state of Missouri, and that was really, really important.
Hey, Coach, we'll wrap it up with this. I heard that anecdote you told yesterday about when you were a grad assistant with Nick Saban at Kent State. You guys were in the library. And then you talked about and decided that you wanted to pursue becoming a head coach in college football. Is that how it happened?
Yeah, we were responsible. We're graduate school. We were responsible for the study table on one of the nights. That's just how they did it. So all the freshmen were on the study table at the library. We were there. So we're just talking. I remember Nick and I were talking. We really want to get into college football. We really want to go that direction. And Nick, and that's what we were looking at each other. And we both looked at each other and said, yeah. This might be okay. This might be pretty good to do.
Looks
and then you think
yeah.
back at it. My friend Nick Saban is you know, they've done at a historic university and has done a historic job there, which is an understatement.
And Coach, before we let you go again, I want to mention gpmade.org, your foundation. You made your home in Columbia. You're all over the state of Missouri doing great things for the young people in Missouri and reaching out to so many different communities through gpmade.org. But so on a personal note, and I've said this, we talked about this when you first got elected, you're responsible for creating a generation of Missouri football fans. In the 70s and 80s, there wasn't a whole lot to root for. And then for my boys, I have a son that's 24, a son that's 18. They grew up on Missouri football. We got a chance to go on road trips to Atlanta to see the SEC championship game, beating Nebraska finally. All these great memories. And so I'm sure that you've been told this a million times, but to have you and what you did with the program and to create all those memories in a generation of great memories and Mizzou football fans, thank you so much for what you did of rebuilding that program and taking it to heights it hadn't been at before. And I just hope that you know how much what you did means to so many people around the state of Missouri.
Well, I really appreciate that. But I also have to add this, that when you're thanking me, I had a bunch of great coaches. I had a bunch of great players, a bunch of great kids. And, you know, we're all part of the team here. And certainly, you know, we embraced that. And it was a great ride. And I'm so honored to be a part of it. And I'm looking forward to our facilities are exceptional now. They're, you know, done a great, great job of continuing to build. And great things can still happen at Missouri. And I'm all for it.
Coach, thank you so much for the time. We appreciate it. Again, congratulations on becoming a Hall of Famer. Now, hopefully, they'll get a statue of you in front of that stadium where it belongs. All right, Coach?
Well, I won't know if we'll go that far, but you guys are crazy, man.
You know what?
Hey, by the way, you guys do a great job, too. You really do a great job. Thanks so much for having me on.
Hey, thank you so much, Coach. We appreciate it. That's Hall of Famer Coach Gary Pinkel. We'll be back after this to wrap things up on Sports Radio 810 WHB.